Welcome to Skills Journey, hosted by Emil Rovenheimer and Yanni Brofenboer from PopUp, the People Upliftment Program. This is your passport to a transformative journey where we uncover the power of skills together. Welcome to Skills Journey with Emil Rovenheimer and me, Yanni Brofenboer. And we are so excited to have a very special guest in studio today as we embark on this journey of masterclass. And last week we had a discussion, over the last 3 weeks, we'd had a discussion with Anton Smit. And if you by any chance missed the interview, please send a WhatsApp to us on Impact WhatsApp line and we will send you the amazing interview we had with Anton Smit as a master. So today, we introduce a new master, and Russell DePria is a good friend of PopUp. We trust his wisdom, and thank you for being with us, Russell. We're excited about today's discussion.
Thank you for the introduction. I think I'm not in the same class as Anton, and mastery, according to me, is still a journey and not something that arrives, and yeah, thank you for the invitation.
Oh, Russell, it's such a privilege to have you here. I think you're being incredibly modest, and we look forward to unpacking your journey towards mastery and some of the things that you have achieved to date. But maybe give our listeners a little bit of an idea. Who is Russell DePria? What are you busy with at the moment? And in what kind of industries and sectors are you involved?
Well, once again, thank you. And we are agricultural value chain investor. So we invest in anything in agriculture, not because we love agriculture. We just think it's a very exciting, profitable, futuristic industry to be in. The technology that's driving the whole industry is amazing, and the amount of yield you can achieve out of it is great. The impact that you can make on people and the job potential that you have in agriculture, because you have this rural areas that there's really jobs needed. But at the end of the day, we've got about 1,400 people working for us. We peaked at 1,800. Our dream is to have 5,000. That's why we totally failed the goal, and we hope that it will happen in next 10 years or so to go to the 5,000. But I'm trying to master how to activate people, and that is really the goal, the journey to get to mastery for me. What skills do I need actually to activate people? So we are agricultural business, and we do pigs. We've got some olive oil, Willow Creek, and Rica, and Creekside, and we trade quite a lot of grains and nuts and so forth.
Oh, that's wonderful, Russell. How many businesses or enterprises are involved in your value chain that you guys are investing in?
So it's always a little bit of a difficult one. But if you take the different entities and sub-entities, it's around about 50. I think in our history of 21 years, and in this form of business, I think it's over 150 wow. that we had, sold, closed, failed. So there's quite a complex, different from animal genetics to plant genetics to growing, slaughtering, processing meat to shops. That is very difficult.
This is incredible, Russell, because I think this is exactly the discussion that we're so excited about engaging, because there's something about the number of businesses that you've been involved in, seen opportunities in, invested in, disinvested in, and even the failures that we learn along the way, that has this idea of entrepreneurial mastery. You've got a knack for spotting opportunities and executing on those opportunities. And it would be just so fascinating to deep dive into that and say, has this just always been a passion? Did you just always want to kind of get into business and perhaps agriculture? Or where did this start? Where was this inspiration moment? What was kind of that catalyst to get you into this kind of space?
Well, first of all, I don't think agriculture was my vision. And my dad was a welder, and we grew up in Hartbeespoort. And so to some extent in the 70s, 80s, I think it was not as open as it is today, and a different mindset. And I think my mother had a huge impact on me, because every time I want to do anything, we didn't have money. So that irritated me like you can't believe. And so it's almost a mindset of being poor. And I think so many people have this mindset that I'm stuck in where I'm at. And to compound this whole thing was that actually I was not very great in academics. So I've got a little bit of a reading problem. And so they call it a name which I can't pronounce. And I struggle with that. And so I always felt a little bit stupid through the whole growing up part. And so matric was not, I didn't really had great glory in that. I had four E's and two D's. And for some other reason, I was clever enough to select the right subjects so that I could get university acceptance. And I went to University of Pretoria and ended up studying economics. The teachers basically said to me, you're just going to waste your dad's money, and you'd rather go and be a mechanic or be a welder. I didn't enjoy that, because I always had to help my dad, and the grinding and all that kind of stuff burned me, and I said, I definitely want to get something else. And so I think a combination of wanting to get out of here, and want to grow as a person and understand where stuff comes from. Then one other incident that really changed my mind to some extent, and I only realized it the past 5 years, was my uncle was a little bit of a drinker, and well, I would say, I think, alcoholic, definitely. And my dad took him in and worked at our, or at where the shop was. And at the end of the day, he borrowed a boat from me, my uncle, to go and fish, and which my granddad gave me. And the boat apparently sank. I told my dad, this is nonsense. I was 12, 13 years. I think he sold it. And my dad gave me some advice regarding, you can lie to anybody as long as you don't lie to yourself. And I think so many people lie to themselves rather than other people, and do not get to the true essence of who they are. And I think you need to be authentic as a person, especially with yourself, to take the journey.
Yeah, I really love that, Russell. I think what I appreciate about the story, perhaps, is that we often have this idea that these successful people just had an easy ride, right? Because we have to kind of calibrate why our life is so difficult and we haven't had these breakthroughs. And here we have a discussion with Russell, and we can look back on all the things he's achieved and kind of see his chapter 20 or his chapter 40, and we're looking at our chapter 3 or 4 and we're like, yes, but he just had it lucky. And yet, you know, you had all those constraints. You grew up in poverty. Your parents weren't well-to-do and they didn't have the opportunities to send you. But also in the context of a skills journey, you had those same constraints where people told you, listen, you're actually just but not no, smart enough.
No. I actually don't like it when people say that I didn't have everything. I actually had. And I am so blessed from the start. And I never felt that it was my right or something like that. And we were definitely not poor. It was a mindset, because we were so middle class, it was unbelievable. Yes, I mean, we had to, if I want to buy Adidas shoes to go and run, I need to, or needed to do, save my own money and the normal stuff. And so the mindset to a large extent, and I've always been so blessed in the sense that I could have grown up in a township. And I have this responsibility on the talents I have to take it to full fruit and get the full potential out. And if you take Maslow's triangle, you end up at the top, whereby it's self-actualization. And it's the willingness or the need to get to your full potential. That is self-actualization. And I always felt that I had this potential. And if anybody feels that they have a potential, it's your responsibility. It's your need that you need to go and bring it to full fruit.
Yeah. Russell, something that I loved what you were saying was, even with a disability, if we can call it that, where you couldn't read really well, that didn't stop you from having this drive of going places. And I'm speaking to moms listening who are having kids in classes struggling through whatever challenges we have. And I've had multiple conversations with teachers saying, just make sure that your child picks the right subjects. And I've actually seen that in my own children's lives, where they have the ability to grow in something so specific. And then maybe they struggle in something, but there's this direction that God has almost called them into. And I also liked when you were saying you felt stupid. It was like there was an identity challenge where you were like, but I'm not stupid. Even though I might not read well, I can go places. And that's what I'm hearing you say.
No, I think in the moment, you still doubt yourself. That it's really a limitation, and do you have the ability? And now looking back, it's very easy. Mm. And I mean, I find young people, just before this, I spoke to somebody over the phone, and I have a little bit of a temper on people not getting it. and the insecurity that I find with people is amazing, and we all have it. Almost, you just told me that you don't want to go on air on radio because for whatever insecurity.
Yeah.
Why do we have it? And that is a quest for me in life. That and this is to some extent the shadow and the mask we have, and we're playing between these two constantly, and I'm. And this consciousness that my dad brought to us, in the sense that you should really, truly go and look for your full potential inside and be honest with yourself. And I think it's a very hard journey, because the older I get, the tougher for me personally. I mean, I'm a positive guy. I've got huge strengths. I think everybody needs to do that kind of exercises on your natural energy.
Mm.
And I've been lucky to work in my sweet spot of energy. And so I feel people need to know themselves. I think it's so important. We do not know, and clever people usually have this ego that they need to overcome if they are wrong. And then whereby if you're stupid, to fail is no problem because you already failed according to Mevrouw Denner. That was my I'm at my full potential. So for me, being really conscious about who you are is very important, but I think it's also very dangerous.
Sure. Yeah, Russell, I love what you're unpacking here because I think this is so relevant, and it's relevant to all industries, and it's relevant to every person's journey because our self-awareness almost speaks to that underlying self-belief. What is it that I believe about myself that is actually a constraint in my mentality, in my approach, in the way that I position myself into spaces, but also even in the way that I engage in my strengths or my energies and position myself to contribute to my full potential. But I do want to unpack a little bit more about what you mentioned earlier about Maslow's hierarchy, because it's almost like that's also universally applicable. And we're all kind of initially in this, we just want to survive, we just want to have security, and then we want to have esteem, and we want to belong, and we want to be recognized for our individuality. And then hopefully someday we all want to self-actualize. We want to kind of express the full God colors that we have inside of us and make sure that we bring all of that to the table. But I want you to unpack a little bit of the challenges in that, because you've been able to navigate a lot of that in your life. And yes, there are still some of the self-actualizing stuff that you're dreaming about and trusting for, but you've mentioned that this journey isn't easy. And I think a lot of us get stuck because there's this one step or this one hurdle where we can't find a way to navigate that. What are some of the challenges that you've experienced in unlocking that?
And once again, you don't know when it happens. Somewhere along the line, you end up with a consciousness that the obstacle is the way. And if you'd really trust in the problem, and I love a problem because I know at the end of the problem, there's going to be a solution. I really get energized by problems. And I think truly we are placed on earth to solve other people's problems. And I went at a stage into Judaism. There was a book, Business Secrets of the Bible, Lappin, Robbie. And the whole concept was by serving people and making a lot of money, you actually bringing God to people. I can't see any other place than serving people is to serve God. I can't see any other purpose in life than serving people through products, through delivering bacon to their houses. And if I do it well and I get paid very well for it, I'm serving better than anybody else. So we have this misconception almost on money and the blessing between the two. And I have no problem with that. I mean, honestly, what I do with my money after I made it is to invest in another business. So for me to have a plane or a boat, it's not in my interest. It doesn't give me pleasure. The pleasure is really to build stuff from scratch. And I think and every person's needs are different. But once again, if you're true, honest with yourself, you're going to end up to the point deep inside you where you actually want recognition from other people. And I'm not sure if I'm correct. And but this balance, this is a fine balance between the two that you're trying to get to. Okay, so I think the struggles is out there. You need to embrace the obstacle. I mean, it's really exciting to know that you can go over this obstacle, because at the end of it, either around it, you're going to be a richer person in the sense of knowledge. And maybe later I'll talk about capital and the origination of capital.
I love how excited you get over obstacles. I wish you can see this, listeners, because Russell's just like excited about an obstacle. Russell, thank you for this discussion. It is really inspiring to me, and I'm so excited that we're not done. So we will continue our next interview next week. So join us again. Don't miss out, and we will see you on Tuesday.